living in the supernatural, and we're in this area we call the Word of the Kingdom. The Word of the Kingdom. Let's read over here, starting at Galatians chapter 3. Hold on just a minute. I'll start reading at verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with who? Faithful Abraham. How many of you know if you're born again, you're the seed of Abraham? Yeah, you're part of that seed group with Abraham. And you got to understand that the blessing that's on Abraham was on Abraham for Abraham and his who? And his seed. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. Do you belong to Christ? Then you're Abraham's seed. Now that is when Abraham says that, when the Bible says that, this is written from the Hebrew perspective. Paul went up there to the Greeks, went to Mars Hill and so forth, and the Bible says they just reasoned everything out because you're trying to analyze this thing and you don't get the miracle in it. You've got to receive it and believe it. All right, let me just explain that. If you're in a helicopter, you're looking down and you can see the buildings, but you can see them all at once. But if you're down in among the buildings, you can only see one or two or three at a time. Got it? They're all there, but this is the limit of your visibility. Okay? So the Greek, or as some people call it, Platonic paradigm from Plato, having to do with seeing sequentially. Seeing sequentially. And if you're down there seeing sequentially, you don't get the miracles. The latest technology went from, how many people are, I'll start to say old enough, wise enough to remember 8-track tapes? Okay. Okay. All right. Had to save myself here, praise God. Okay. But remember, in terms of these little cassette tapes, notice you got to wind down. See, you got to wind down. That's reason. And that you have to wind down to that. That's where people exist without God. Because it's all analytical winding down. But in the kingdom, you went from that to digital. Where you don't have to wind down to this place, you can just go there. Say amen to that. And dualism says, hey, you know, this is the way we act in church. We act this way. We sit up, you know, listen, so forth and so on, but there are certain things we don't do in here. But when I'm not in service, then have to understand that I'm a different person because I'm not there. I have to act a different way there than I do here. And as a result of that, I gotta realize that because I don't wanna carry that out here, because if I carry that in church out here, then when I do certain things out here, I'm gonna feel guilty. So what I gotta do is leave church in there. So hey, no, we don't discuss religion, brother. But Abraham never separated his business from his God. Never. Never. Because that was the source of everything happening. See, everything comes out of that. People see here, they see a church, and then they see stores, and well, why did y'all put the church in the middle of the store, so forth and so on? Because everything comes out of God. Doesn't make any difference what it is. It comes out of God. He's gifted different people in different ways. That's why in the business world, work becomes worship. Because when you work, you're working out a gift. And when you work out the gift was given to you by God. So when you work, you place a demand on the gifting, which makes the gift come out. And when it comes out and it manifests, it glorifies God. So in the marketplace, works can become worship. So I'm saying that if you do it as unto the Lord. But when you're dealing with this sequential thing, that's why you get all the things, the situation, ethics, and political correctness, all that mess. It comes from this whole Greek mentality. And what you got to do is you got to realize that is not the way God thinks. So let's go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Remember, no miracles happen with reason. They don't happen with reason. That's why you get more miracles over there where I'm going than you do in the United States. Because the United States is highly indoctrinated with sequential processing. And the intellect becomes almost God. Whereas when you're talking about learning, learning comes from the cognitive. But when you're talking about knowing, knowing comes from your spirit. Let me show you. Can I show you something? I'm not going to take much of your time. I know you got to go get chicken and oven. Look what it says over here. Look. Let me show you something. Put your hand right there at Isaiah 55, and let's just look over here. John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Let me know when you get to John chapter 3. All right. This is when Jesus was gonna. He had multitudes of people following him, and apparently they had followed him for a couple of 3 days. And the disciples wanted to send him back home. That's one other gospel account of it. And they wanted to send him out. They said, hey, send him home now. He said, no, if you send him home like that, they'll faint on the way and so forth. And God is not into, you know, herding folks. And he said, hey, feed them. All right. So look what happened. Verse 5. When Jesus had lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come to him. He said to Philip, where can we buy food that these may eat? I'm transposing now for you. And this he said to prove him. Watch this. For he himself, come on, help me, knew what he would do. Knew what he would do. See? Knowing is spiritual. Got it? And learning, when you learn from just a mental standpoint, you're dealing with the mind. And I'm not saying you don't have to renew your mind, but you can't leave off the spiritual part because Adam, when he sinned, fell from revelation to information. He was locked in information. He couldn't go any further. So you got to process that now. Oh, glory to God. I'm not done with you. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. I'm encouraging you to communicate with God. And God is a spirit. That's what it says in John chapter 6. And they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. Or John 4:24, pardon me. All right, so in Matthew chapter 16, he says, well, who do men say that I am? He's asking the disciples now. Watch this. Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some said you're Elijah, or one of the prophets. He said, but who do you say that I am? Now watch Jesus. He's putting a demand on the anointing, on the spirit of this person. Who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. But my Father which is in heaven. And thou art Peter. And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now notice, he knew who he was. He knew, folks. He knew. R.G. Letourneau, one of the shipbuilding magnates back some years ago, they wanted to use his plants. You know, he made big earth-moving equipment. Wanted to use one of his plants because the war was on and they needed some ships because they're getting ships. U.S. was getting ships sunk. And I think it's the First World, Second World War, whatever. And so what happened? They went to him and he made the ships and he tried to speed up the process. But when he made the ship and flipped it right side up, the rivets would pop. So he went and fasted 3 days. The fourth day, he got a knowing what to do. Watch this. And ended up building a ship a day. Watch this. God can build a ship a minute. Now, wait a minute. You're going to try to sequentially process down to find out how I got to that answer. And you can't do it. You can't do it. The Bible says with your natural mind, you can't even know God. I mean, I know you all that, but you still can't know God with that natural mind. Nobody, if you can do that, you can get saved without God. How about George Washington Carver? What does he do? I got all the write-ups now. He goes into his lab. He calls it God's little workshop. George Washington Carver was a scientist. He's an African-American gentleman that was at Tuskegee with Booker T. Washington. What did he do? He goes in the laboratory. He said when he goes in there, he locks the door, takes no textbooks, because now he's not dealing with learning anymore. He's dealing with discerning. And he goes right in there. Now, I'm not saying that's not a place for learning. That you got to have this, because that helps to pull the gift out. And so what happened was he goes in there, locks the door, and he had gone through school now, and understand, but he was there working at Tuskegee with Booker T. Washington. And he said to go in there and say, once he gets in there, he gets inspired and the curtain comes back. The curtain comes back and all of a sudden he sees how to take the peanut apart and put it back together. He said, without my hand and God's hand, I'd be helpless. And watch this, when he asked God about the peanut, God says, I want you to increase your intent and decrease your extent. He first asked him, what is man for? He said, ask something more your side, little man. This is what God told Carver. Now, I'm only saying this because we've been taught to process down. But the way I get my messages is not that way. They just come. You remember, I don't know whether you saw this, and I'm certainly not advocating, but this movie I saw called Matrix. And he asked her, said, can you fly that helicopter? She said, not right now, but just a minute. Ring, called up. Helicopter, please. Down up. And yeah, we can go now. All right, that's enough of that. Praise God. Praise the Lord. All right, but remember that now. Remember that the Hebrew and there's a Greek, there's a way you look at things. And it's a paradigm. Paradigm is a mental map. It's a way you see life. It's a way you see things. And when, once you come into the kingdom of God, one of the first things happens is your paradigm gets changed. God begins to change the way you think. Say amen to that. All right, let's look at this. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eaters, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me, how? Void. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. All right, I'd like you to underline a couple of things. It shall accomplish that which I please. Underline that. Underline the next one. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Okay? All right. Now, God's word. And what we said is that it's the word of the kingdom. Now, where do we get that expression from? Let's go, if you will, to Matthew chapter 13. Just look at that with me. Are you ready to learn something today? Now, I'm not going to preach today. I'm trying not to preach. My intent is to teach today. Because we need understanding. Say amen to that. And understand, don't put your mind out because you need to renew your mind. And that's one of the things that education does. It renews your mind. You come out thinking a different way than you did before because your mind has something to do with how far you can go. Look what it says in verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Are you with me? When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, underline it, the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Stop. All right? That. Okay. Come back over to Isaiah and Isaiah chapter 55. All right, now, what I'm telling you, I've worked this. So don't think I'm up here just giving you some theory. I'm giving you something that has actually changed my life. All right? All right? Look what it says. Now, verse 10, I'm going to read that for you. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the who? Sower, and bread to the who? Eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Stop right there. All right? So whenever God speaks the word, or the word of the kingdom, it goes forth. And whatever it's sent, it says that it shall accomplish that which I please. What will? The word. So the word of God is the controlling factor in the earth. It'll come into handy when I teach this. All right, let's look at it because this is where we left off with last time. Let's go back to Isaiah and chapter 6, please. Chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. All right? Now, if you don't have a Bible, just watch on the board, and it's going to make sense. Even if you don't have a Bible, you're going to really get a lot out of it. Look what it says in Isaiah chapter 7, and look at verse 14. Here we go. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name what? Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. All right? Now, who's going to conceive? Wait a minute. That's not what the scripture just said. Okay, let's not go any further than the scripture up in here. Okay? It says, a virgin shall conceive. All right? Now, what's wrong with that? Now, we're not talking about this modern day stuff that you can do. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about. You know what this means, don't you? Okay. So, it says a virgin shall conceive. All right. Now, who said this? God did. But who did he use to speak it? Isaiah. What was Isaiah? A prophet. A prophet is often called a seer. Got it? A seer, seeing what God would do. All right. So here he spoke. Now, I'd like to have you to put something there because I'm coming right back and go over with me for a moment to 1 Kings and chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 18, this is talking about a prophet named Elijah. And Elijah, the Bible says in 1 Kings 17 and verse 1. I just want to read that first. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And notice what he did. He spoke and said, there's going to be no rain until I say so. Now, what has happened? God moved on his heart and he spoke it. Now, there's a woman in chapter 8 named 18 named Jezebel. And Jezebel was dealing in a lot of witchcraft. And she got her fame because she came and married Ahab. Ahab was a king in Israel, but she married him. This is called an unholy alliance. And now she is taking headship. She is overruling the head of the house. I better stop right there. No, just listen to me now. So she is now telling the king what to do. So now the king becomes a real wimp. I mean, to the point that one guy, he wanted this guy's field, and the guy, Naboth, or whatever his name was, he didn't want to sell it to the king. Jezebel said, and Jezebel came in the room and said, what's wrong? Ahab was over there with his face to the wall crying. She said, what? Are y'all gonna let me tell this story? She said, what's wrong? He said, he wouldn't sell me the field. She said, let me take care. You just finish crying and I'll take care. That's me now. I'm putting that in there myself. Maybe. So what does she do? She schemes, get the guy killed, and then takes his land. I mean, this is who you're dealing with now. Now, so next, Jezebel now is after the prophet. Right. Now, why is she after him? Because she wants to cut off his speech. Because anytime God speaks to the prophet, and the prophet speaks it in the earth, it will not return to God void. It will accomplish whatever the prophet said. Got it? And today, that same spirit hates a real prophet. Because a real prophet will speak what thus saith the Lord. Say amen to that. And cause heaven's plan to manifest in the earth. That's what the devil doesn't want. He doesn't want heaven's plan to manifest. Y'all with me? So now a prophet speaks. He says a virgin is going to conceive. Now, I don't know whether you knew it or not, but at that time, that was impossible. Say amen to this. Amen. Let's go now to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. All right. And look at Isaiah chapter 9. Let's go further. He said in verse 6, this is Isaiah still speaking now. Understand? Shut that prophet down. Don't let him speak. Get after that prophet. Now, she doesn't mind if there's a false prophet. Now, the Jezebel spirit can be on any kind of people. It can be on groups. It can be on men. Are you following what I'm saying? It's a spirit of witchcraft. It's a spirit that tries to subvert headship. See, it'll try to come in here and tell me what to do. Well, Pastor, I don't see why you got to do that. I mean, I came from such and such a church. We had a Sunday school that we had. I said, honey, you ain't in your church. Well, I just don't see why. I said, listen. But are you following what I'm saying? See, remember, Satan was not after Eve. He could care less about Eve. Why? Because she wasn't the head. Now, I don't know what kind of thinking you got, but let me correct it. God went to the dirt once. That's the head. That story of the man that was up in heaven, and all these men were lining up and getting in line and carried up. And all these men had this long line. He said, all the men now whose wife or head of household stand over here. And all this long line over there. All the men who you were head of the household, you stand over here. This one man stood over there. The angel asked him, said, now, wait a minute. All these people stand over there. Why didn't you stand over there? He said, I don't know. My wife told me to stand over here. Okay. All right. Now, here's the deal. Now, you got to get this because, see, Babylon has tried to trip us up in perverting headship. You got to watch that. Now, listen, the head sets an example. The head, the reason why he went to the ground once is because who was made from the ground was designed as the foundation. And you can't do something with something that it wasn't designed to do. If you try to do it with something, it starts breaking down. So the next thing you know, people trying to move up in the head that's not the head, and next thing you know, they come down with cancer because they were not made to bear that kind of weight. This is good preaching, folks. You can't undo what God has done. He's the one who made us. We didn't make ourselves. He knew exactly how you were designed. A woman is designed delicate. She is designed that you have to treat her. That's why she lacks affection. For men to do that, they're going to have to, a husband is going to have to get outside of himself and realize that his wife needs some affection. Because other than that, he's going to go to the ball game or work on some cars or whatever have you got to do. Come on, you better help me now. So he's going to have to do what he doesn't like to do. He's going to have to just be affectionate. Say amen to that. Boy, I'm telling you, we just got old marriage and the family here. Oh, glory. Amen. I was about to go down to preaching manpower, and my wife asked me, she said, she got, okay, sweetheart, you got everything? Okay, I said, yeah. I said, okay, goodbye, baby, see you. And she said, okay, now learn something down there now. I said, learn something. I'm the man. Don't you know who I am? I know everything. No, you don't know everything. Okay, all right. Now, where are we now? Where are we now? Okay, we're at Isaiah chapter 9. Okay, all right, let's just look at this. Okay. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called what? Wonderful. And Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no what? End. Let's stop right there. Okay. So what is he saying? Look at the first part. Unto us a child is what? Born. Unto us a son is what? Given. Now notice, God gave a son who already existed that was born. Got it? So he came in this earth as a seed. He already existed. He's the Ancient of Days. He was here before everlasting. Yet he became a seed and hit the earth. Now ended up in a woman's womb to be born. Got it? Now, in this, what I said is let's go over to Micah. And Micah, now, I've got to leave out of here soon. Micah chapter 5. All right, let me know when you get there. I'm going somewhere with this now. Sit tight and just let me take you somewhere. Okay. How many of y'all still learning things? Okay. If you didn't put your hand up, I'm going to cast that lying devil out of you right now. Okay, look what it said in verse 1. This is Micah chapter 5, verse 1. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us, and they shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Now understand who's speaking this. This is Micah this time preaching it. Watch this. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. All right. Now, this is a prophetic word. He is prophetically speaking that this child is going to be born in Bethlehem. All right. Come on over to Luke chapter 2. Now remember what God said, that his word shall not return void, but it shall accomplish. It shall prosper. In other words, all you got to do is hold on to it. All right, look what it says here in Luke chapter 1. Oh, no. I glory to God. Can I just do what I want to do? Just do what I want to do. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 2 first, and we'll come back to 1. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Okay? To decree means to legislate. You can put it in your Bible. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Now understand, this is the Roman Empire. In the Roman Empire, they had one king. His name was Caesar. But then they had governors and kings which were over different provinces. And they could be kings or governors. And that's why Caesar was the king of who? Kings. Oh, well, okay. Verse 3. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called what? Bethlehem. Because he was of the household and lineage of who? David. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. Say espoused. What does espoused mean? Engaged. Not married. Because they're not having any sexual relations. Because this woman's got to bring forth a child without a man. Got it? His espoused wife. Okay. Being great with child. What does great mean? Very great. It means, you know what it means, don't you? All right? She's ready to have this child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. That means she had more kids. Firstborn son. And wrapped him in what? Swaddling clothes. Swaddling doesn't mean raggedy. It means tightly knit. And laid him in a what? Manger. Why?
because there was no room for them in the Holiday Inn, in the Ritz, in the Four Seasons, and we'll keep a light on for you. There was no room there. Now, it wasn't because they had no money. It was because they had no room. So this baby had to be born somewhere. And this baby ended up being born in a manger. Got it? Now, I think that is interesting because there's a lot of revelation that goes into the fact that this baby was born in one of the worst conditions. Just hear what I'm saying. It's some revelation in that. By the way, look at the next verse. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds, say shepherds. Shepherds. So if you look at the manger scene, shepherds came to the manger, okay? No wise men were at the manger. Hello. Now I know your greeting cards show some camels with wise men and all that. Okay, take my word for it. Look in the Bible. No wise men were at the manger. They didn't come to about 2 years later, and they came to Jesus' house. All right. Now, notice she had this child. But how did she get the child? Now, first of all, Caesar Augustus made a decree at a time that she was full and caused her and Joseph to have to come back up to Bethlehem because they had to be there to pay tax. But it just so happened, it was timed when she was ready to be delivered. Now, how did that happen? The word was doing all the work. It will even adjust circumstances. Watch this. It will even affect the minds of heathens. And the way it's going to be accomplished, you don't know. Because he's doing it out of the wisdom of God. And I'm going to tell you, every time I thought I'd figured out how God was going to do this, it'll come from the backside. And I knew how God was going to do it. I have never, ever been able to guess how God was going to deliver me. But I knew one thing. I was going to be delivered. And I'm telling you, that's where you have to step over into trusting in the kingdom of God, because if the word of the kingdom has gone forth, it has enough power in it to bring whatever it said to pass, even if it has to stop the planets. It will bring it to pass. Say amen. Because it won't return void. Now, one more place. Let's go and look at John chapter 1, please. No. Luke chapter 1. Look what it says here. Y'all don't mind if I take you through this. Ooh, I got to get out of here. Verse 28. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with who? God. Favor means that he picks you out. Yeah. Are you following what I'm saying? You know favor is not fair. You know that, don't you? Yeah, okay. All right, look what it says. Verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name who? Jesus. That's the name. Now the name is being released now. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Remember, you read that over there in Isaiah chapter 9. Watch this. Then said Mary unto the angel, how is this going to be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come on you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. And therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the who? Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived and a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. So Elizabeth had been barren all the way up to this time. And she was old in age. Verse 37. For with God, help me, nothing shall be impossible. All right, I asked the earlier services to write this in their Bible. No word of God is void of power. No word of God is void of power. No word. No word of God is void of power. You can get healed on the begats. Everything in it has power. Look at verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel did what? Departed from her. That was it. That was it. What did she do? She believed. And when you believe, you conceive. Now, one more place. I got to speed up here because I got to get out. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Glory to God. Flow. Amen. Let me know when you get John chapter 1. All right, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the what? Word. The word was with who? God. And the word was who? God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by who? Him. Him who? God. God who? The Word. So everything was made by the Word. Got it? Without Him was not anything made that was made. Watch verse 14. Come on down. And the Word was made, say it, flesh. And what did it do? Dwelt among us. So how did Mary get Jesus? Through the Word. And what did she do with the Word? She believed it. And what became of the Word? Say it again. The Word became flesh. Now let me give you another translation. The Word took flesh. Got it? So now all things were made by the Word. So if I go over to the last place, Mark chapter 4, Jesus teaches this principle. What am I saying to you? I'm saying that God has had a kingdom supply. Everything you need is in the kingdom. And the kingdom is like the Garden of Eden for Adam. Everything Adam needed was in the garden. And if it wasn't in the garden, he didn't need it. And I'm saying that you have a garden inside of you. But you have to sow seed. And if you do sow seed, the soil in your heart, glory to God. Can y'all digest this? I know I jump. Has corresponding action to the seed. If I take a telephone post and drive it down in the ground and bring it up some years later, it's rotten and so forth. Now they start putting treatment on it called creosote. And why? They're trying to keep it from rotting. Why? What is happening in that soil? The soil is trying to grow it. It'll try to grow anything you stick in it. Say amen to that. Inside of you is soil. It's called your heart or your spirit. And you stick something in it, it will try to grow it. So you got two words, the word of the kingdom of darkness and the word of the kingdom of God. Don't speak those other words because it'll grow it. It will work night and day to bring to pass whatever's stuck in it. And what you're going to sow is a seed of the word of the kingdom. And watch this. And the word will become what? Flesh. Well, wait a minute. Suppose I stick some house seed in there. The word will become house. Don't try to figure out how it's going to happen. I'm working this. This is how you got here. Let me try. No. My friend, inside of you is a kingdom. Inside of you is a garden. And what happens when that seed goes in there, it makes a demand on that soil. That soil makes a demand on that seed. And the soil, Lord have mercy, then it goes into night and day seeking the avenues of God, how to bring this seed to pass. You are sleeping and rising, sleeping and rising. Put it up there, please. Put it up there. Mark chapter 4, verse 14 first. Just put that one up there. Let's just look at that one. Look what it says here. Now, this is important. The sower soweth the what?
Word.
Come on down to verse 26. He said this. He said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day. And the seeds should spring and grow up. Come on. He doesn't know how. You don't need to know how it's growing. I said, you don't need to know how it's growing. What you need to know is that if you put it in there and conceive it, just like a baby will come forth out of a womb, that whatever you sowed in the word of God will come forth the same way and produce the same love. Next scripture. For the earth bringeth forth fruit, how? Of herself. Don't need no help from you. First the blade, keep going. Then the ear, come on. Then the full corn of the ear. Keep going, next verse. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle. Why? Because the harvest has come. Next verse, please. And look what it says here. And he said, whereunto shall we like the kingdom of God? Or what comparison shall we compare it? Keep going. He said, it's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. Keep going. But when it is sown, it what? It groweth up. Keep going. And becometh greater than all the herbs. Lord Jesus. Put a scripture up there. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35, please. Matthew 12, 35. Look what it says. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, the heart, brings forth what? Good thing. Let's stop right there. A good man out of the good treasure. Stop. Don't use the word treasure. Use deposit. All right, let me read it. A good man out of the good deposit of the heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil deposit bringeth forth, come on, evil things. So notice what you're going to do. Whatever you want to come forth, it's going to start in your spirit. And your spirit has dominion over every level of reality that's below it. So the physical things of the earth are controlled by the more powerful world of the spirit. The Bible says the word of God is keeping every planet in place. The word of God is doing that, and the word is a spirit. So I'm saying your spirit can hold the word. Your flesh can't. It profited nothing, the Bible says. So you got to believe. When you believe, you receive. And once you receive, you conceive. And once you conceive, now that's the spirit, that's the seed in the soil. And once it's in the soil, don't dig it up. Don't say nothing against it, because you know a seed is delicate and you can dig it up real easy. Don't you say nothing. Notice what Mary did. She jumped out of that house and ran out to Elizabeth, because she's going to tell her what she's got. She's got a baby coming. However, she didn't see any evidence of it. Come on. She didn't feel any morning sickness yet. Come on. She, none of that, but she just believed that what God said, he's faithful to do it. And he said, you're going to have a baby, and you're going to have a baby. So you go in that Bible and find out by his stripes you are healed. Now take that seed and conceive that rascal. It will move any sickness in your life. Nothing can withstand the controlling power of the word of God. Say amen to that. It doesn't make any difference, folks. I'm telling you, I used it in my marriage. Now I got a marriage made in heaven. I took that word. That devil was talking to me. This is years ago. We've been married 28 years now. So this was 6 months after we got married. The devil telling me, well, you know, you married the wrong woman. She can't cook like you thought she could cook. And so, you know, anything. And I got a hold of something that said you can have what you say. And I began to get some, I got that little book called Praying God. God's word, and I begin to say it every day. Father, I thank you. My wife is a virtuous woman. She always does me good as long as there's life within her. The bread of idleness, gossip, discontent, and self-pity she does not eat. She gets up early, gets spiritual food to the house. She assigns her maids their task. The word is God is working mightily in our marriage. We've been translated into the image of Jesus by the renewing of my every day, every day, every day, every day. Watch this. And when I first started, my mind said, that ain't true. Stop reading that. That is not true. So you got to go against your feelings, because your feelings are not telling you what you believe. Belief is a choice, not a feeling. I choose to believe that God is going to take my ministry on top. I choose to believe I'm coming out of debt by December 31st. I choose to believe. See, you got to say it. If it's a promise in the Bible, you're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you to sow your seed. So what happened? All of a sudden, the roast start tasting better. All of a sudden, you know, you'll find when you start confessing, the first thing the word does is fix you. Because you'll find that you're a little bit off. And it starts fixing me. Next thing you know, we kiss it. You know, she couldn't resist all this anyway. Can't kiss all the sofa. Me tell you, now we got a marriage made in heaven. Nothing can shake it. Come on now. I'm saying what God did for Bill Winston, he will do for you. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we got. Glory to God. Amen. Now, if you need a house, we got a house from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. He's given you houses full of all good things that you didn't fill. All you got to do is sow the seed. Folks, we're on assignment here. We're not responsible. Adam was not made to bear the weight of his own provision. He was not made for it. You're not made for that. God supplies all your needs. And it comes through your seed. Give the Lord a praise. Glory to God. All right. Did y'all get that? Did this make sense to you?